Philippians chapter 2 is where I'm going to be reading from. I've called this message, A Generous Heart. Generous Heart, because that's really what giving is all about. Oh, by the way, I didn't know whether to tell you last week. I guess I did mention it last week, that I was speaking on tithing. Maybe that's where the rest of them are. Oh, I'm getting it. That's what our fellow should just talk on. Is these are principles. We've been talking about the principles of Scripture. And I trust that what I share will somehow, I don't know why this is. I don't know why we are all, oh, well, I hope you don't say too much about that. I mean, I'm not going to bring my friend if you're going to speak on this and, you know, do this or do that. And I get it. I get that. I would love to bring my neighbors. Speaking on tithing, but it's a great subject. It's an important subject. It's part of how we function, and this generate. But it's not about. I can honestly tell you this: we haven't got a program start lining up here that we're going to kind of soften you a little bit until finally we'll launch it. No, it just seemed like a thing to do. I will say this: if you've been here for a while, I have never ever. Pounded the pulpit or done anything like that I wouldn't have wanted my neighbor to come to. It's just, we just haven't ever done. We've never made, you know, we haven't said, money. I think you would check back on all the minutes and everything else. We never made that anything. What we made was the giving of your heart and let the Lord use you and let him direct your giving. So, I don't want to make you mad today. So just bear with me, and because it has that effect for some reason, I'm not really quite sure. So listen to this as we start this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It's a great verse. And my God will supply every need of yours. Okay, just pause right there. That's his promise. That's his promise, to look after us, to care for us. My God shall supply every need of yours according to, now this is interesting, according to his riches and glory, not mine. I don't know if I how much riches and glory I have, but according to his riches. How wealthy would he be? How wealthy is our Lord Jesus Christ? He owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and gold. Everything is his. And he says, all of these riches are for you. To know that he's not going to run out. That, you know, you're going to say, oh, I shouldn't have, you know, he couldn't supply the need. He can supply all the needs. Whatever else, whatever need you have, he has the answer to that. There's an interesting passage of Scripture. And by the way, I don't blame Val for a couple of things I put in here. As the week progressed, I started thinking of other things and added to it. So it may not be exactly lined up, but it's from my heart to it, so I want to share it. It says, so Abraham, you remember what happened? His son Isaac, he said, I want you to take their son and take him and put him to death as a sacrifice. I can't quite get my hold of all that stuff, but... So he asked for that the Lord would supply a lamb, a ram rather. And it says, so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. In other words, he didn't have to sacrifice his son. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's his name. He goes by that. And other names as well. Say, Jehovah Jireh. We used to sing a couple of great songs about that, didn't we? My provider. Because he is. He's the one who provides for us in this great plan of salvation. He said, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. It shall be provided. How wonderful. Well, I made a number of points, whether they line up or not, I don't know, but I think the truth of it will line up. From Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Now I want to say, I know that this is a law Malachi is, it was written under law. That doesn't bother me at all, because these are Christian principles. I'll come to that. So bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And therefore, put me to the test. See, only the Lord would do that. Put me to the test. If you doubt my ability to look after you and to provide for you, he said, here's what. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven for you, and pour down for you a blessing. This God, this generous God who seems to be obsessed by looking after us and caring for us. Well, if I will not open the window of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing. Right? See, this is why, we can focus on, what does the Lord require of you? And I think God does want us to be generous and to give, but not because we have to keep God happy, or we have to say, the Lord won't bless you and you'll be cursed. And I don't think we're under a curse. Now, this is what the salvation in grace does for us. But I will pour down a blessing until there is no more need. That's wonderful. My God shall supply all your needs. These are things he's going to look after us. And he said, and then of course I didn't preclude at all, but and he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. When the devourer comes to eat the crops and to cause the damage and the harm, he said, I'll send him scattering. And so we got blessings from heaven. This is what God does for us. And he invites us to be generous like he is generous. Now, I'll just mention a couple of things about my journey. I would have been one of those people that if I'm supposed to give some to the Lord, so one some for him and some for me and some for him and some for me. I remember one time we would always pay our bills. We'd write one bill out to Sears, another bill out to the gas company, and there was all these things. And we'd come to the end, and we wanted to tithe, but we couldn't do that. Because by the time we got through to the end, there was nothing left. There was nothing to give to God. There just wasn't. So I remember, so we'd say, let's try it again. And we tried it again, and sure enough, still we were shortchanged on this and shortchanged, and it always happened every time. And after a while, I thought, this is weird. Why is it? And somebody spoke to me about this and said, honor, give God glory. Why don't you pay God? And then trust me for the rest. And so we did that. And I can say, as I stand here in this year, in this moment of my life, that we have been tithing. And I'll talk about that in a moment here. But that we've been tithing. And there was always enough to pay the tithe and to pay Sears. And I thought, interesting how that would come about. So I remember thinking we weren't sure whether the tithe, whether is it on gross or is it on, how does this work? And of course it was, again, no matter whenever we doubted it, it would never come out right. So when we decided we're going to honor the Lord, so Val, when she does our books, she writes out a check for the church, in this case because we felt that we should be putting our money towards. And all these years and years, we've been tithing. Now it's been, and we don't miss it. Can't say that we don't worry about that. That's the Lord said he'd look after it. Our job is to honor him, and to see what he might do. I don't know why it frightens us so much. I guess we're afraid we're going to be in legalism or something. But this isn't legalism. By the way, in Genesis, the money was given to Melchizedek years and years and years before the law was given. So they were, the tithe, that's what I'm talking about, the tithe. The tithe has always been and always will be 10%. Okay, just so you know, that's just what the scripture teaches. It is 10% if you want to tithe. See, do I have to tithe? No, I don't think so. I think you might miss out on a great blessing, but I don't think you have to. I don't think we're under law. You could give of what you were able to. But I said to keep in mind that maybe the tithe would be the starting point. And if not, we'll find out what a starting point would be. But all I know is that when I've often knelt down and said, Lord, we've tried to honor you. Now we have this need or this need or this need. And we're just trusting you to look after us. And of course, guess what? Down through the years, it doesn't matter if we needed that much, then the Lord would supply that, or this much, or this much, and he would always be supplying it. Many times we were pretty close because we overspent. You know what that's like, where you spent too much. You shouldn't have spent that. You're way off budget, and then you have to say, Lord, please, I'm sorry that I spent all the money, and I've got nothing here now. But He's very gracious and very kind, and it's easy to get back on track. Second thing I'd like to say, oftentimes it's a strange mystery, this giving thing. I wrote a little statement, happier than the getter? Somebody gives and somebody gets. And here's what I wrote down. In all these things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. That's one reason why there's a tithe, is to help the weak. But you know that practicing Jews to this day give 10%. There was just a program on TV about it, about this wealthy Jewish guy. And he said, oh yeah, he said, we all tithe 10%. Wow. I said, that's something that many Christians don't. I hear this man under law, but nevertheless, he felt the need of it, and he gave. So this is that we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, was he just being encouraging? Well, after all, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But to receive and to give? No, I don't think he was trying to give a pep talk. Jesus, the early church, writes this down. To remember the words of our Savior Jesus, who taught us they must help the weak. Remember the words, or he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think it's right. I think that's true. I believe it is. I don't know, you might want to think about that as to in what way it is, but I think that whenever we give, it's something like the heart of God. That's God's like this. He's a generous God. And so Jesus tells the early church as he goes back to, I presume when he went to heaven, that he says, more blessed to give. Remember that he said, it'll always be better to give than to receive. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? I think it is. And I know that once you get used to it, we've always found sometimes there's God allows things to happen. Like you say, a bill that we'd overspent on, and other things like that, and we just regret it. We prayed together, and then we rip up our card, and then we'd, that was an important thing. That's another topic, which I'm not really talking about that, but we finally had to say, let's just rip the card up, and then we did, and Val was ruthless, and that worked out okay, just fine. Get things in order. So, something about this, it just keeps on coming. You never will outgive God. You can try, but you won't ever do it. Because whenever he gives a little bit, or when you give a little bit, he comes roaring back and showers us with blessings. Now, and this month, and next month, and next month, and next month, give, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it will be given to you. Again, this is an eternal principle. It'll be given to you good measure, all right? Good measure. Pressed down. Pressed down, even. So it's not loose, pressed down. Shaken together, running over. will I put in your lap. That's what I'll put that in your lap. For with the measure you use it will be measured back to you. So it will come back, but it must be whatever I put in, out there, that's for the Lord. Well, then I remember it comes flying back at me, and he says, watch this. You can't outgive him. If you honor him and say, I felt led to put something in the missions fund, God won't make sure. You'll get an unusual thing. It may not be what you thought it was. You thought maybe it was this, but it's actually turned out to be that. And you got a deal on a car you were thinking at, and you look back and you say, wow, I think the Lord blessed you and helped you, and because you understood the principle. It just keeps on coming. And now, as my 69th year, I have been all of these years, and I'm not dragging any attention to God be all the glory, but I've always, my wife and I have been tithing our income. And we've never lacked, and we found that the Lord is very, very generous, looking after us and caring for us. And so it keeps on coming. And so you get this opportunity. I find sometimes we can be led of things. The devil has often tempted me. You know, you've got some money and there's a chance, you know, I don't know what to do with this. And then you kind of fiddle around with it. And finally, I just find myself saying, devil, you get lost or I'll give it all. Then you'll be sorry. Because I think sometimes he doesn't want us to give. And so it's a hard thing. But this pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be in your lap. And I think if you'd say here, if you've been serving the Lord for a while, you would testify with me that God never failed you. He just doesn't. He can't fail it because that's his very nature. There's an interesting verse in 2 Corinthians, that chapter 8. I don't think it's again on the thing here. So I'll just, what it is, he said, he who, chapter 8, verse 8. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also be genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. Well, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. You see, somebody says, how could the tithe be, how could we even count the tithe, because isn't that under law? I said, yes, it is under law. But there's a Christian tithe in my mind. I don't have to give. There's no curse on me. You know, nothing following me because I haven't kept the tithe. It's just an opportunity to give, is how I see it. And as the pastor of this church, if I don't give, how does that encourage anybody? And I know, though, many, many, many people, I don't say this to shame you, or we've all been there, but many Christians, well, I can do better than that. When Benny Hechinova arrived on these shores, we were driving around and looking at stuff. There was him and I think maybe Lanny was there, maybe Val was there too. And we're driving along, and I will never forget it because it just seems so, we're going by churches and that, and Benny said, Brother Owen, do all of you Christians, do they all tithe? Silence in the car, and the silence is mine. I said, no, they don't. Well, doesn't God tell us we should? Benny, you're new here, and you're confusing things. You're getting me convicted. No, I said, we don't. Most don't, or they give a very little amount. It's not very often. It's not very generous. It's trying to get it into their pocket. And I said, what about the Philippines? Yeah, he said, they teach that when we come to Christ and we get baptized, they teach us how to tithe. It's God's economy. God's economy. Of course it is. And so these brand new Christians in the Philippines who are out giving us, even though we have all the money and all the everything we need here, they're more generous than we were. I mean, it's just, it was, we laughed, we still talk about it. I just mentioned it the other day to him. You remember that, sitting in my car, and we laughed over it. He said, has it changed anything? No, I don't think so. So, I think it's, this blessing keeps on coming, but I think it's thwarted somehow when it's not done in generosity. Very fact, because God is a generous God. That's, I'm trying to stumbling my way here, but God's so generous. And it will be measured back to us again. So it keeps on coming and coming. And you see, people say, well, aren't you supposed to give 10%? I said 10% is an interesting figure. All kinds of, even secular people will give 10%. There's something about the 10% goes way farther. Then the 90, so, right? Because if you give 10%, now you don't have 100%, you've got 90. So there you are. That will be magical. It will grow. It will, just all by itself, it's something, there's something I don't know. In other words, Val and I cannot quit. We can't quit because we're convinced that we're blessed in our giving. And therefore, if we cut it back, then there wouldn't be as much. So we just find out there's much. It just goes further, and little things. Not all in cash. Sometimes it's gifts that people have gotten, or someone's taken us out for supper, and it just. All I'm saying is that all these things, that you have to believe that when you give. And start anywhere you want to start. You don't have to start at 10% if you want to ease into it. Just that you have to be careful because other people will say, well, you know, you don't have to do this or that. And I say, yeah, I know that. But I want to. I want to because our God is so generous himself. As I mentioned before, no one has ever outgiven the Lord. No one. And if you feel, you know, you say, I like the idea of even, we come to church together and you look around and you just, this is a really good thing just to pray, Lord, is there anybody here this morning that maybe is going through a rough time? And maybe I could just, Lord, if there's anybody here that somehow has a need, Lord, lead me to them. And I would think that would be a wonderful, it's happened to me, and we just felt that it should, not to make a big deal about, not even to say anything about it, just to drop it into their lap, to be discreet about it, and just to bless them because it seemed that that's what the Lord wanted. It's something very simple, just to be generous again and again and again. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And there's another song we used to sing. Don't you know, and adds no sorrow with it, take it everywhere you go. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. If you are tapped into the blessings of heaven, then it makes you rich. You have things come and things happen, and it's wonderful in every way you can ever imagine. And let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly, if you sow sparingly, in other words, you're going to, you see, many people say, well, I don't know about this tithe thing, but I think I'm just going to throw a dollar in. And many people think that would be, I thought, how would they think that would ever be enough? And I remember one individual telling me, he said, you know, how does the church run? What is the system? And I said, well, we give. He said, they sure have to be given a lot more than I'm given. I said, yeah, that's true. No, seriously, how does this work? I said, people give. Really? They give. I said, yeah. There's no government subsidy. There's no government from the help. There's no... Right, it's just what God's people put in. And he said, because he was just blown away by it. Just could not believe that that's how, because of his probably lack of generosity. But it just keeps on coming. And you will not outgive the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Oh. See, maybe call me selfish, but I want to learn to be generous. How can I do that if I don't practice giving? And it's especially now, I'll talk to, there's only a couple of elders here, but I could share this with anybody, is that you to be an elder, to be a board member, you have to be a giver, right? And everybody say, well, I don't tithe or I don't even give. I think it's one of the prerequisites of leadership, is that I have to be generous, that set the example, and how can I be that if I'm not one of the givers? You see, there are churches, by the way, that are famous. They're famous for their giving. It's a giving church. They have huge amounts of money come in because somehow they have tapped into God's understanding that they need to give, and the church is generous. And I think, I don't know what the mark on it would be, but I would say our church is one of those churches that is generous. When a need comes, there's people saying, how can I help? What can I do? I'd like to give something towards it. I'd like to give something towards that. And that word, I'd like to give something. How beautiful. Not how to, I'd like to get something, but how to give something to the Lord. And so there's this sowing and reaping. And you have a choice to be, you can be, if you sow little bits, then that's what you're going to get. And whoever reaps bountifully will also reap bountifully. Really? Oh, that's wonderful. How could we lose? How could we possibly lose? Let me just read a little bit more here, because this is where it's changed a bit in the notes. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. By the way, I don't think, if you really want to be technical, okay, it's, as Christians, it's not the tithe, which is 10%. But what it would be then is a proportional giving. That Mr. Patterson, he gives that much. I don't know why he does or not, but that much. But it really, he probably could give that much and that much and that much. Whereas the poor single mom, boy, when she puts that in the offering, she'd be glad to hear about proportional giving. How could it be that she pays the same percentage as one of the richest people in our city? I don't know how she would think that. But you give according to your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, listen to this, because I think it's important. God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take from a grump. He loves a cheerful giver, but he'll receive from a grumpy guy or a grumpy lady. Decide in your heart what you're going to do with your finances. God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, you say, well, I don't know, it wasn't my idea, but my wife wanted us to do something, so I guess we better do something. Oh, no, that's not the right thing. That's not the attitude that brings the blessing. But a cheerful giving, and it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. Wow. Isn't that amazing? He's able to make all grace. And he can turn that around like that towards you. And you could be so blessed, and you'd be overjoyed, because he said, I made got a good deal in my business. That happened, and this happened, and that happened, and we had these blessings come to us. We've really been blessed lately. Well, I know that's not all it is to him. He's making all grace abound to us. That's what he's just so that these things are directed by the Lord, and we smile and we. And we say, Lord, thank you. What a great God. But the reason for it is you were generous, and therefore it comes back. It doesn't come back when you're not generous. Sorry to say. But it doesn't. That's my observation. It comes back when I've given. And then I just say, Lord, you know that was a stretch for us. So, Lord, please look after us. And we'll just trust you. Because we felt we should step out, right? And, did we overstep it? Maybe that was foolish. And, of course, the devil comes along and says, oh, yeah, of course, that was really foolish of you. You're going to fail at this. They're going to think you're stupid. And not so. But I found myself saying, Lord, bless. Lord, please help us. We need your help on this. And indeed. So the blessings of God. That's how it happens. And if you just let your life be directed that way, look for opportunities to give. And don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And that's one of the secrets too. Just don't let everybody know. You know how much I gave? No, keep it. Here's something I can tell you. I have never, ever looked at the books of this church. I felt on principle that it'd be better that I not know what anybody gives or doesn't give. Obviously, some people need to know, just so they can process it. But I don't need to know. I don't want it to say, so-and-so, I wonder if they're giving more than they used to. No, none of that. Just keeps your heart pure, that you can preach like today and share and not to know. It just keeps your heart better, pure. Grace abounding. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Grace abounding to you. Whew. Man. Not just little. So I can expect today and tomorrow and the next day, I can expect the Lord to look after me, providing that I have exhibited and given. Given of my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply. These aren't limitation verses, they're blessing verses. For food, we will supply and multiply your seed. The harvest of your righteousness. In other words, he says, hang on, do up your seatbelt, because God is about to bless you and to bring your seed and for sowing in increase, the harvest of your righteousness. And you will be, just so we got it clear, you will be enriched. I feel in many ways I am already. But you, following the text, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. These are powerful verses. I will be enriched in every way so I can be generous in every way. You see, you can't help the poor when you are the poor. Is that not the truth? You can't help the poor. See, I have to help people. If I'm going to help people, then I say, God, here I am. I'll be generous so that I have something to help somebody. And over and over and over and over and over again. Remember one Christmas, the staff, we decided, we didn't do it again, but we did it. We thought we should put some money together. There was, I don't know what there was, $100 maybe, Christmas time. And we put it in a box, and we wrapped it up, and we went down, walked down to the quay, and approached this stranger and says, how are you, sir? Merry Christmas to you. Oh, and he said something about the Christmas not being too merry. And we chatted for a while, and I said, you know, I just felt our staff at our church felt we should give this to somebody. And it seems that maybe this is, you're the one. So would you just take this? Like $100, it wasn't $10. And, you know, he was still, what? And the kid said, Daddy, what is that? And he said, these people just gave me a bunch of money. And, you know, and we went on about our merry business. And he's probably still saying, what? You know, he just can't get a hold of it. Why would they do that? Because we just felt that we should, Mel, I think you were there probably. And just to be generous, because we all had enough for our Christmas to give to somebody. Now, again, we felt somewhat led for that to happen. But I love this part. It says, in every way, enriched in every way, and it'll produce thanksgiving to God. He'll be pleased with it. So the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And it says here, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. This is Melchizedek. And it was before the law. And it was this is under the covenant, the new covenant. And you give 10%. If you haven't, you don't want to give your wife a heart attack if all of a sudden, guess what? I'm giving 40% of our income. Clunk. Now we got another problem. No, you have to ease into it, pray about it, talk about it. But the idea is, it's living is giving. It just frees us up. And it's a wonderful thing. And so we give 10% and sometimes beyond. You know, but when do you say, when do you give the tithe? Well, I don't know. I don't know. There's no one moment. But I rather think that, you know, when you get your paycheck, you just, whatever that 10% is, and just give that. Now, if that's too steep, well, it's okay. Again, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. There's no curse or anything. There's no taking away from. No, it's just that I think we limit what God wanted to do in enriching us in all ways. So we give a tenth of everything. Oh, you know, he's gone to heaven now, but Reverend Lauren Pritchard, my mentor, and he'd speak here quite a few times, and it's so funny. Like, he was about 80, maybe 90. 80 for sure. And he, sure enough, and I knew it, he would preach, and as sure as the sun rose and set, there would be a check on our desk in our office here. There would be a check, 10%. And I said, how didn't we know it? Because he believed in giving. I can't go into any details, but he died a very wealthy man through no fault of his own. Through no fault of his own. He never sought it, ever did he seek riches, but he sought to be a giver. And I just happened to know of a deal that went down for him, and it was a blessing, a real blessing. And he was nobody more excited than he was. I mean, he just couldn't believe it. And he says to me, Brother Owen, I've got more money than I've ever had in my whole life. I said, did we doubt it? Right? Did we doubt it? You have been giving your whole life to give, to give, and to give. And that stays in my mind as an important person to know. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. I'm not sure who gave this to me, but boy, this is pure vitamin C. Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord. Okay? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. Whatever your first fruits is for you. I'll read it again. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits. So I think first, this is, I got this and I wasn't expecting it, so I'm going to take part of that and write it out, send that off to that person, to somebody else. So it keeps on being a blessing. And just honor the Lord. These blessings come, so we honor them and we keep giving. And we keep giving some more, and people keep increasing. And there's something, as I said before, something magical about giving 10%. I don't know what it is. And maybe you'll get discovered as to what it is either. But we're not under law. The part I want is this is not the case. This is not the wagging finger. This is not what this is about. This is about how to live generously in any way you can. And usually if you're married, one or the other will find it more difficult than the other one. I don't know what that is, but it can happen that way. But just to persevere, and again, keep giving to the Lord, because there's something magical thing. We're not cursed because we didn't give enough. These are under principles, Christian principles. I called it here an economy of generosity. An economy of generosity. To create a genuine and God-centered heart. And that's what it's about, basically what it's about. Is that your heart will either become increasing a genuine God-centered heart. And we say, how about the church? That it would have the heart of God. Just giving, giving, and giving to missions and giving to outreach, giving where we can. Responsible? Sure, of course, we want to be responsible stewards. But we have an opportunity to move to another realm. And I know for some, this you say, whoa, 10%? Are you kidding me? I've never given 10% in my life. Yeah, well, it may not. You let the Lord. This is a good idea. Let the Lord just guide you. Right? Just guide you, and you may find that a lot of things have been discovered, and that you'll be on an adventure of helping people out and encouraging people and blessing people wherever we can. I close with this: the spirit of Mammon must be broken. There's something about the spirit of money that's not good. It's, I think we take it as Mammon because it gets a hold of us. And we take it and we break that so it no longer has a hold on us. It has a phenomenal, I think if you went to the high school, never graduating, going on to university and jobs, if you said, what's your goal? Yeah, I would almost guarantee it would be to make money. To make money. And if that becomes part of our life, how about to give money? Wouldn't that be a breakthrough? My goal is to give money. And I say, may the Lord bless you. And I would applaud you, because that would be the spirit of Jesus, where he says, it is better to give than to receive. Let's, without breaking into a fist fight as to how much we think we should actually give me your first impression of your understanding of biblical giving.